The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Patriots pass rush, their shining moment of the season so far. 9 sacks on the day. Caleb Williams hitting the deck over and over again. Let me just read you a quick synopsis here of everybody who recorded at least a sack. Jelani Tavai had one. Jeremiah Farms Jr. had one, and 3 tackles for loss. He was everywhere in that game. You had Anfernee Jennings had a couple. Keon White had one. Dietrich Wise had 2. Dale Pettis had one. And Brendan Schooler had one. And there's your 9 sacks for the Patriots, reminiscent of that game 2 years ago against the Colts, which I instantly thought of, a game where they sacked Sam Ellinger a million times. Uche, I think, was all over him in that game. It was a shining moment for the pass rush in that game. The question now, I think, Andy, is we expected this Patriots defense to be a lot better than it's been so far this year, right? I don't know if you did. I expected
not a lot better, but better.
I thought it would be closer to what we saw last year, at the very least. And it's been not close to that, I don't think, most of the season. Most of the season, I feel like they haven't tackled well. They get run on a lot. Good quarterbacks are still able to make plays against the good secondary. Like, I just feel like nothing's really clicked. Everything clicked in that game yesterday. Are they back? Is this something that you're expecting them to build off of? Do you think it gets better from here?
No, I don't. I think this is
Negative Nancy now?
Well, I think because you asked Jonathan Jones, was this a get-right game? This was a get-right game. This was sort of a slump buster. Mm-hmm. This was a game that will alter their statistics in a lot of categories in a misleading sense.
I set them up for a nice positive answer. How's that being negative?
Well, because it's indicating that it was kind of a softball setup lobbed up to them by the Bears in terms of the opponent.
That's not what I meant by get-right game. I mean, like, you won.
To me, a get-right game is an opponent that you don't think very little of and you expect to play really well and fix a lot of what ails you because they are a willing victim. They're a willing foe.
I guess going into the game, if you call it that, but I was meaning sore in retrospect.
Like the Patriots were a get-right game for other teams because they sucked.
Right.
Right?
Unless the Patriots beat them, and then they're not. But
no,
like,
I know.
Did you feel like that was the get-right game after it was over?
Yeah.
If that's what you meant,
I don't think so. I think you played a bad Bears team that's playing bad football. That's the other thing that we can use the old Mayo mindset. Are they a bad team? Or are they playing both bad football? Both. I think the Bears are right now. But you get 9 sacks. I think they had 16 coming in, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Misleadingly, if somebody from L.A. is now doing your Friday preview of the opponent.
Yes.
Wow, Patriots got 25 sacks on this. And you're like, well,
right.
They kind of all came last week against a crappy quarterback and a crappy offensive line. Oh, they're really good on third down. Well, yeah, they went 1 of 14 on third down last week low passing numbers. I think this can really sway their statistics in a direction that isn't really indicative of who they are. Do I expect every week now Farms to be this like dominant player Roy's actually been pretty good.
Roy has been good.
Sneaky good.
He's got like 2 of the other 20 sacks they had.
Yeah. And do I expect Dietrich Wise to have 2 sacks every week or no? This was a very opportunistic defense yesterday. They took what Caleb Williams and that offensive line was going to give them. I don't think that necessarily means they're going to dominate the Rams a week later.
So you think this game is more about the Bears than the Patriots? Is that sort of what you're saying here?
Because
the defense is the reason they won, and you're saying the defense was a reflection of the bad Bears offense.
No, I think it was a really good offense. I mean, a really good game plan against an offense that's really scuffling right now and can't get out of their own way schematically. The quarterback's a problem. The O-line is a problem. My buddy Shane Waldron is having his own issues in terms of play calling.
So it's all about the Bears is what you're saying.
No, because you have to take advantage of it. They are an NFL team, and as you said, they've played good games.
They have, yeah, sure.
Like, they're trending in the wrong direction. They're banged up on the line and that whole thing, but they still have NFL wide receivers. They still have the number one pick quarterback, who's supposed to be one of the most talented players. Jerod Mayo said, I still think he's really going to be a good player in this league. But I give the Patriots credit. I think they threw – you started with Covington. I think they threw a lot at Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
Packages, personnel, scheme, different things never allowed him to get comfortable mentally or physically. And the physical part, that might be about the Bears, but the mental part, that's about the Patriots.
Yeah.
That's about a good game plan.
Agreed. And I was shocked by the lack of adjustments. They didn't make any adjustments at all. It didn't seem like Shane Waldron was just running the same double move, deep plays, and Williams is standing there looking around. You know, it just, they didn't adjust to Schooler spying on him. They didn't adjust to anything, really. I feel like it was just the same thing for all four quarters, and it never got any better. And Williams was just getting destroyed every other snap, it seemed like.
So,
and they had no answer for it. Eberflus, Waldron, nobody did anything.
My biggest critique would have been, this was like the second straight week they barely used Cole Kmet,
mm-hmm.
and I think he's grossly underutilized.
They tried to get it to him a few
late.
Times.
They
right,
forced
yeah.
it to him late, and he even got pissy. Caleb Williams had bad body language on
yeah.
a throw late that was incomplete. But if I see Brendan Schooler in the middle of the field and I have Cole Kmet, I mean, I'm trying to line up and get you to do that again because I want Cole Kmet on Brendan Schooler. I want to see if he can cover him. And Del Pettis and others.
Yeah.
I think the weakness in the Patriots' defense on paper is in the middle of the field, and that should have been something that Cole Kmet was taking advantage of. Did they ever throw the ball to him in the middle of the field? I feel like everything was on the sidelines. It was everything on the sideline. So they actually never did what I think they should have done, which is get the ball to him in the middle of the field and try to challenge some questionable players.
I sort of feel like they did, but maybe there wasn't a completion. I don't know. Either way, you're right. I mean, he's been underused all season.
Brian thinks I can read lips.
And he's definitely not getting used. It wasn't used very much in that game. Aside from the defense, the wide receiver situation is one that I think has a little bit of drama going into it here coming into the game. We found out from Andrew Callahan during the game
yep.
that Kendrick Bourne was told he was going to be benched. Instead, K.J. Osborne ends up playing a ton. He played more snaps than any receiver other than Booty.
Ooh, real quick, before we get into this, the K.J. Osborne never happened, touchdown, was it whatever.
Yes.
Is another one to add to that reel of plays that don't count, but pretty impressive.
It was.
He did the Patrick Mahomes roll out. Is he out of bounds? He's not out of – roll out, hold on to it, throw late. Oh, my, he caught it. I think the announcer even said, and he throws it away. No, K.J.
No.
Osborne catches it.
I thought it was a throwaway, too. The way he sprung back from the tackler, from the guy coming up the middle, that was a really athletic – I mean, it was quick, but, like – he was standing there ready, and then all of a sudden he was just 5 yards back. He just sprung backwards and got out of that tackle, ran to the sideline, and got off a throw that, you know, Osborne did get pushed out of bounds, but it was a pretty impressive-looking play, even though it didn't count. You're right about that. Kendrick Bourne, though, benched. The explanation that Callahan reported was that they're trying to get more of the young guys out there and get them more snaps. That makes sense, but then why is K.J. Osborne playing 47% of the snaps and Kendrick Bourne can't get out there? That doesn't really make sense. Also, Kendrick Bourne didn't request a trade.
Right. I don't really know why K.J. Osborne's on the team, never mind playing ahead of Kendrick Bourne, who you re-signed in the offseason.
Yeah.
You gave, I think, $4.5 million guaranteed to. You chose not to trade at the deadline. I don't know whether there were legitimate opportunities to do that or not.
I have a thought on that, but we'll get you to circle back to it.
But he should be part of the future. You extended him.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you add two or three higher-end receivers, don't tell me Kendrick Osborne can't be your four or your five. Kendrick Bourne. I struggle with this because it is Kendrick Osborne we learned.
It is.
And KJ stands mm-hmm. for Kendrick. Kendrick Bourne
Kung Fu Kenny.
Should be part of your future.
Yep.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And I know some people will be like, well, you know, there are different roles and body types. No, I don't care. I don't really want K.J. Osborne playing, and I do want Kendrick Bourne playing.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he's the one. And he, all we hear about has a good attitude, good energy, smile on his face. The other guy, not so much. And yet he gets to play and Bourne doesn't. It really makes no sense.
No, it doesn't, except for maybe this. And I think it has something to do with what you were just kind of poking at, which is that Kendrick Bourne if you're going to bench him, makes no sense to not trade at the deadline, right? Like, if you're right. if he's going to rot on the bench, then what the hell are you keeping him here for? You could have included him in a pick swap. You could have done all sorts of things. I don't think there was any interest in him or KJ Osborne for that probably matter, not. And that they probably tried to dangle him out there and no one wanted him.
So cut Osborne, keep Bourne.
Well, maybe, but maybe in practice Osborne's practicing better. Maybe,
I don't care.
What I'm saying is that Kendrick Bourne, attitude or not, may not be able to play anymore. You know, like, it could be something as simple as that. Now, I hope
that's
not the
case. Are we sure
about
that? He's coming off an ACL.
I'm not sure about anything. I'm just saying, you're right. He's coming off an ACL.
Usually takes more than a year.
Okay, well, this year, it doesn't seem like it's really going to be the year, does it?
Like, does it seem like it's going to be KJ Osborne's year?
No, but...
And I'm annoyed by the fact that he was a dink and seems to get rewarded for it.
I'm annoyed by that, too, but Kendrick Bourne dropped 3 passes in the last game he played in. Like, this is...
Whoa, whoa, whoa. If this team's benching everybody who drops passes, there'll be nobody on the field.
Sure, but if it's between him and KJ Osborne...
I'd play
on
him.
The field, Osborne's
him.
Been a little
him.
Bit better.
Him.
Because of his attitude.
Yes.
Not because of on-the-field play.
And I've missed the part where Osborne's been markedly better.
Not much better, but, I mean, he's done some. He's
what I'd also be fine with, if you just benched all of them, played the young guys, and figured it out.
Well, that was the whole thing. We're not going to play you because we're playing the young guys, and then Osborne gets more snaps than Douglas and gets more snaps than Baker and who else? So I don't know. And Polk.
Baker's the guy I need to see.
Yeah, Polk didn't, Polk only had the one target.
One catch,
yeah.
Touchdown.
And that's it. So.
Very efficient day. Found the end zone on the other
certainly
time he was.
Was
targeted.
Anyway, the wide receiver room, I still think, is very much in flux and not really something to feel great about. I do think that Booty is his improvement and his progression is one of the few bright spots. Douglas, I feel like, is kind of plateaued, and the rest of them, I feel like, are just all trying to get on the field. That's it, right? I mean, there's nothing really else.
I thought yesterday was sort of a fine Douglas day, not his best, but getting back into the idea where I think he should be a 4 or 5 catch guy mm-hmm. every game, just sort of a frequent part of the offense. I thought he had a little – they put it on the broadcast on May, that crosser. I thought he had a little alligator arms. At best, they weren't on the same.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah. Yep.
I think he saw the guy in front of him. Now, maybe he's taught to throttle down, find the hole in the zone kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're not on the same page at the very least. But I think – because I think he's picked up his production a little bit to get closer to. He's probably going to be the leading receiver when the season comes to an end. But I want to see him out there. I want to see Baker out there. I don't, as much as I don't understand Bourne not playing, and also I would tie that into Gerard Mayo, what he said about May. You play well and then you're the leader.
Yeah.
Well, isn't Bourne kind of supposed to be the leader of the wide receiver room? Doesn't he get cut off at the knees?
He's the veteran, yeah, sure.
But doesn't he get cut off at the knees if he doesn't play?
Absolutely.
Oh, you're going to be the leader? Why don't you just shut up? You don't play.
Right.
Kind of thing, right? I feel like some of these guys could absolutely think that, even if they don't say it. So almost to embolden him to be able to be a leader, you got to get him some reps, get him some touches, get him involved in mm-hmm. the game plan. And I do think long-term, he still has more talent than KJ Osborne.
I think so too, but we haven't seen it this year, and maybe they're not seeing it in practice, and maybe that's what it's all about. Like,
maybe.
It doesn't. Nothing else really makes much sense. 617-779-7937. Joe is in Melrose. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey guys, I think I agree with you, Andy. I think Drake May's best throw was to J.K. Osborne, and he got called out of bounds for illegal touching because he ran out of bounds. But I think, like, Drake May had an awesome day yesterday, because especially because of the wind. The goalposts were, like shaking so much. You know, there's a lot of quarterbacks in this league who'd only be allowed to throw the ball 3 times in a windy game like that. But Drake May is the right guy for us because, you know, 6'5", 225, can throw the ball in tight wind. And, you know, win. But the one thing is, for the love of God, he's got to get down and slide and not take those hits, because it's like he will get hurt and those hits add up. And the other thing is, like, when you slide, you're going to get that superstar treatment that, like, Brady Mahomes got and Brady used to get. Is that, like, if anybody breathes on you the right way, it's a 15-yard penalty. If he keeps running like he's like a receiver or a running back,
hold on. You saw the game against the Jets where he slid, got hit in the head. There was no penalty on the field. He had a concussion and missed the game, right?
But
he's not getting those calls.
Because, he ran. No, like, when he takes off like that and he runs like a tight end. I mean, he's probably the best athlete on the team as well as the best quarterback.
Yeah, but Joe, you're not. You're saying that he's going to get this special treatment.
He's not.
He goes to slide, and there's anybody around him. He got decked in the back of the head sliding, and there was no penalty.
But that's what I mean. Like, he's got to slide. If he slides continuously, and every time he slides and the referees expect him to slide, then he will get superstar treatment. If he runs like a tight end or running back, he won't.
All right. But that's not his game.
Thanks for the call, Joe.
I think he's going to be Josh Allen 2.0,
right. You got to lower your shoulder and get yards.
The the touchdown he had early in that Jets game when nobody thought he was going to beat the linebacker. If he slides there or just goes out of bounds,
right.
Now he's going down the road of being a Mahomes or Russell Wilson, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But he tries to beat the linebacker and turn the corner. And he does.
Which he did, yeah.
You're going down the road of Josh Wilson and Josh Allen. Who's Josh Wilson?
I don't know.
Seattle corner?
Good
used
question.
To be.
Josh Norman.
I think there was a Josh Wilson,
was there a Josh
Seattle
Wilson?
Defensive
Maybe.
Back. I'm saying there's a Josh Wilson, Seattle Seahawks.
Josh Wilson is a contemporary Christian musician from El Dorado, Arkansas, best known for the radio single Savior Please from his 2008 album Trying to Fit the Ocean in a Cup and Before the Morning from his 2009 EP Life is Not a Snapshot. That's who you meant.
So if the ocean is in a cup, it's clearly more than half full. It's just flowing over. That's how positive you are.
Yes, it is.
Because the Lord is great, Jesus. Thank you, my Savior.
Absolutely. Josh Wilson played cornerback in the National Football League.
For the Seahawks.
For the Seattle Seahawks.
Suck on that, Arcand.
How about that? He played with the Reds, team from Washington as well.
Jesus
Christ. I didn't say it. It's the team.
You said the offensive part, practically.
I said the red part. He played for Baltimore, Washington, Atlanta, Detroit, and Seattle is who he played for.
I told you. Anyway,
nice little career.
When you're doing the things he does and can do, you're becoming Josh Allen, and you're not getting the same. We've talked about it. You're Cam Newton. You're going down that road instead of the sliding road. And when you compound that by he got hurt when he slid and probably has a little trepidation there, especially with a guy like Edmonds or somebody who's like, that's a big, scary guy. I'm not, you know, sitting there just letting him tee off on me. So, no, I'm going to fight every one of these callers that tells him to slide, and I'm going to tell them, dive head first. You control the contact. As my high school coach used to say, do you want to be the hammer or the nail? Be the hammer.
Anything else?
No, coach is
okay,
done.
Okay, good. The Patriots, speaking of contact, we're going to take a break on the Patriots here. The Boston Celtics, nice win over the Milwaukee Bucks in a game that they trailed by 17 points, I want to say, but some beef between Giannis the Dink and Andy Hart's favorite player of all time, Jaylen Brown, culminating in some elbows getting thrown, some handshakes getting faked, and some tough words after the game. We'll get to all of that next.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.